time. I'm a sexaholic.
How are you?
Appreciate everybody still being committed. So just to quickly recap and like close out where we were up to. The purpose, at least for myself, for the steps, was basically the idea, and it was told to me that meeting makers make it, and phone calls people make it, and all these type of people make it. But for me, it's almost like I have a deep wound inside, right? Very deep. And you can't really see it sometimes from the surface. And making a phone call is like putting on the Band-Aid on top of that wound, you know? And coming to the meeting is, again, putting on another patch and another patch and another patch. And meanwhile, underneath, it's getting into the bone, and it's corroding, it's diseased, and it's going into the heart, and it's spreading all over my body. And meanwhile, you know, the Band-Aids are being put on. You know, the meetings, the phone calls, the all the other stuff in program. For me, it was like, for once and for all, you need like open heart surgery. It's very painful. It's confusing. But you need to really go to the surgeon and like really like open it up, see what's going on inside, and then slowly, one little surgery at a time, take out the bad, fill it with the good, and really clean it out. Constantly cleaning it out. But the idea of just putting on Band-Aids and making phone calls or doing the steps, it's just like it's still corroding inside. And I really suggest, I think it would be a beautiful thing, if you go around to any guy that's over 5 years sober, I think there's a 99% success rate that every single one of those guys went through all their steps. Most probably even more than once. And most probably took somebody else through it. The people that are in program for 5 years and still wondering why it's not working, I've seen in my experience, if you go around, those are the people that still never got from step 1 to step 12 and then took somebody else through it. That is the reason I say like 99 is because like as an addict, I would find the one guy and go to the leader, you know, with that guy. So if you find them, you have a good reason not to do it. But the reality is, that is my experience. There is no one, this program, there is no one that does the 12 steps on a daily basis and doesn't stay sober. So if I'm acting out or if I'm lusting, it's very simple. It's because I'm making phone calls, I'm putting on a Band-Aid, I'm coming to meetings, you know. I make sure to show up late so, you know, I don't have to really be honest with where I'm really holding. But the reality is, I'm a drunk. You know, and again, it goes back into that same idea of the yeshiva system of, you know, just flowing through it, you know, and wondering why the religion is not working type of idea, you know. So to make that change, that's what the steps, what we're trying to do with the steps. And step one, again, to just bring us to where we are today. It hit me last night talking to someone. I keep forgetting, and it's something I forgot recently. It's not like I'm running away from the most delicious chocolate cake out there. It's not like I'm running away from the most beautiful thing that exists in the world. It's not like I'm running away from $1 million. I'm running away from something that wrecked and destroyed my life. In my mind, when I see that beautiful woman, I look at her like the best ice cream cone that ever existed in the world. I remember asking... by one of the conventions, I asked Mike C. You know, he's one of the founders of SA. I asked him, like, what is one of the tools he uses, you know, for lust? And he said, when he sees a beautiful woman, he prays for her. But then he visualizes in his mind a grave with dirt all around it and the symbol of the devil with that pitchfork and blood dripping down my throat. That's what she represents for me. She's a child of God. I pray for her. She's great. But for me, it's not like, oh, shit, I can't have that. That's not fair. That's the greatest thing in the world. And I forgot about that. I forgot about it in all our first talks. You know, we're running away from the devil. We're running away from the biggest source of pain. We're running away from the thing that broke up marriages, that broke up families, that children will be sitting during Passover without parents, or parents will be sitting without children, or people will be sitting in their apartment cursing at God all night.
this is what we're running away from. This is not like a sweet sugar we're running away from, and damn it, I can't have my porn. We're running away from the ultimate hell that exists on this universe. And that's part of my step one, that I want that ultimate hell. You can't even flip that. Like, and that's exactly what I would cut off my right hand for, that ultimate hell. So to bring that back to really the surface, and I'm passionate about this because this is like, this is the crux of the program, my step one. And then the step two, you know, to surrender that. That, yeah, my brokenness still wants that. That's exactly what I want. Correct. It's shit, it's pain, it's hell, it's going to destroy me. It's exactly what, that's my surrender, the level of my surrender. And then, you know, step two and step three, we talk about it, it's a we program. And to bring it back to the fact that if I don't give up my will to the will of God, there's absolutely no hope. And the one thing I just want to say on this, and then we could open up the floor for sharing, is the difference. I heard this on a tape, I forgot from who, but he explained the difference between a slave and a servant. A slave is like this concept that I'm saying now, is like, oh, damn it. Like, I'm a slave. Damn it. Like, I got to do this stupid 12-step thing. You know, I don't have a choice. So I'm going to force myself to come here against every fiber of my being, and damn it, I need to stay sober. And the whole thing is a pain in the neck. If only I was single and I could live my life, you know? And then there's the servant. The servant is more, he's doing the same exact work as the slave. They're both doing the same duties for the master. The difference is the servant, in his brain, he's grateful. He's serving his master. He's just living a life of, what do you want me to do? My pleasure. It's all in the brain. It was such a, like a phenomenon. I never heard this before. Working the program, half measures availed us nothing. This half measure idea of this is all crap, and I wish I didn't have to, and it's not fear, and as opposed to God, how could I serve you? The difference is they're both doing the exact same thing. They're both going to show up to meetings. They're both going to work. But the idea of almost like I'm happy to do this. I'm grateful. I'm willing, and if you tell me what you need me to do, I'll do it. So if today, you know, the other day I was working on a deal, and the whole thing fell through, and it's like the first feeling of like, God, could you throw me an effing bone, you know? Like, come on. Yeah, I'm scared my wife's going to hear it. If you throw me like, come on, you know, just for rigorous honesty, I do tell her I curse, just to be honest with her, but... come on, that. To be able to stop and pause and serve my Creator. My Creator right now wants me to serve Him by accepting the fact that I lost this deal. And that's how I stay sober. So a few nights ago, as I shared here last Tuesday, you know, I'm about to go out to the bar mitzvah, and my wife's jewelry is gone, you know, many, many thousands of dollars. And, but the fact that I'm married to a loser, like, you don't lose jewelry. I can't find for the life of mine, if I put cash in the house around, I can never find the place that I put it, you know? But if she can't find it, it's like, and first my reaction was, what? Like, and then I just stopped, I said, never mind. And I walked away, went into the bathroom, I honestly prayed. And it's like, God, I want to enjoy this night. I also want to get laid, but I want to enjoy this night. And like, come on. Like, the honesty, like, come on, like, are you serious? And to be able to take a deep breath and serve my Creator is the change. Now, it happens to be 2 days later, she found it. Now, imagine if those 10 hours I would have destroyed. So God gave me life, He gave me enjoyment, and I would have destroyed it. Reality is my wife would have been pissed like hell. Late, I didn't get it either way. And it would have been a disaster. And now, today, 3 days later, I would still be... I would be sitting there like this, like still not sure how to make this amends and processing it. And I enjoyed a beautiful evening. I enjoyed a beautiful night. And the reality is she found the jewelry. So the last point about this is, I think, I said no. No, not everybody gets laid over. The reality is, the point that I'm trying to make with this is, is I felt in early recovery, and sometimes it comes up for me still today, if I surrender to God and I give my will over to Him, what am I left with? And therefore, life is hell. The reality is, my step three, especially now doing more work on it over the past week, I came to realize that it's the biggest gift to the servant for being able to have that type of life. By surrendering it, I had a beautiful night. By telling my worker, who I didn't want to surrender, he wanted to go to a show, and I thought it was all stupid and everything, and after taking a deep breath, recognizing he's another human being, he needs a day break. Maybe he just needs a break and he just wants to chill. And to be able to surrender and say, okay, be there for God's kid. Let him go. So I told my worker to go. At the end of the day, he made a monster hookup over there. If I wasn't surrendered, I wasn't working this program, and I let my character defects and my ego get in the way, I would be ruining relationships in work. I would be ruining relationships with my wife. And the same thing with my kid. And I keep saying I'll finish off, but so many things keep coming into my mind. I'm a basketball player from birth. You know, I'm working out. I'm taking kickboxing. I'm an aggressive kid, right? Then I get married. I have my first son. And he's going to go exactly in my path. Like, and it's obvious. Everybody's like, you know, we put his basketball hoop like in his crib. He doesn't want to know from basketball, this kid. He's an edelo, zisa, delicious boy. The reality is, the hate that I had inside for this kid, the hate, watching the next, I put on a basketball court in my backyard, watching the next kids doing moves, and like my kid is like, tie, hit the rim, and hit the rim, you know, and it's like, the hate I had for this kid, I couldn't breathe. When I accepted God's will, and I surrendered it, I started to send him for art. And I started to pump up his skills. I have the most beautiful relationship with this kid. He made a gorgeous picture last night. I texted it out to a few people. I was so proud. So now, surrendering to God's will, what did that do for me? Bad or good? The end result was, I am happy. So in a short period of time, I could ruin the relationship with everybody. Or I could be happy with all my relationships. So in step three, it says, to the level that we give our will to God, to the level of our surrender, is the level of our happiness. Why? I'm going to be in pain. I'm a servant. I have no life. I can't lust. I can't do anything. Correct, but you could be happy, joyous, and free. That's the idea. I could be absolutely wrong all the time, but I could be happy. You know what I mean? Yes, I have the right to do. Yeah, but I'm going to be miserable. So step three gives me the ability to start being happy, and I need to take that into my step four and into everything else. So if anybody wants to share for 30 seconds on one episode or two episodes or...